What would you do if your mother woke you in the middle of the night to confess she just kissed your stepfather's best friend? At 14, most of us are navigating algebra and first crushes, not becoming confidants to complex adult relationships. But that's exactly what happened to Adrienne Brodeur on a summer night in Cape Cod in 1980. Her mother, Malabar, didn't just share a secret. She handed over a burden that would shape the next decade of Adrienne's life. This wasn't a one-time confession whispered in desperation. It was an invitation into a world where boundaries dissolved, where daughter became confidant, where a teenager's role was to support her mother's romantic involvement outside her marriage. For 10 years, Adrienne lived split in two, the girl trying to build her own life and the one ensuring her mother's happiness no matter the cost. When Malabar shared her marital difficulties with Charles, whose cognitive and physical decline after his strokes had fundamentally altered their relationship, she wasn't simply confiding in her daughter. She was positioning 14-year-old Adrienne as uniquely mature, worthy of adult confidences beyond her developmental stage. Being elevated to peer status in complex emotional matters creates a powerful psychological pull. Adrienne took initiative in arranging that first clamming expedition, then developed proficiency at creating cover stories to maintain Charles's unawareness. The responsibility felt significant, even noble. She believed she was safeguarding her mother's opportunity for genuine connection. However, this type of selection isn't recognition, it's exploitation. Malabar appropriated Adrienne's adolescence, substituting age-appropriate concerns with adult complications and deceptions. Each instance of praise as our secret weapon carried an implicit message: your developmental needs are subordinate to mine. Adrienne, seeking maternal validation, internalized this harmful dynamic without recognizing its true nature. The affair grew from fractured foundations. After her parents' divorce at 5, Adrienne was uprooted from their modest Manhattan apartment to the sprawling Greenwood estate when Malabar married Charles. She suddenly had 4 step-siblings and 17 bedrooms. Shuttling between opulence and her father's bare-bones Connecticut cabin, living proof that children aren't as resilient as adults pretend. Malabar herself came from troubled origins, the dramatic only child of twice-married, twice-divorced alcoholic parents. Before Adrienne's birth, her parents had lost their firstborn son, Christopher, to choking. Adrienne arrived on his birthday, forever feeling like a replacement. After 1980, the affair consumed Malabar completely. "I've never felt so alive," she'd confide during their monthly henna treatments. They crafted elaborate alibis, using Malabar's stepmother's alcoholism as cover. The Wild Game cookbook became their masterstroke, a perfect pretext for countless hours together. Ben would arrive at their Cape Cod home bearing frogs or roadkill squirrel alongside dinner ingredients. Most shocking was Malabar's relationship with Lily, praising her immaculate gardens while privately dismissing them as uncreative, all while sleeping with her husband. "Ben is like a wild animal," she'd tell Adrienne. "The man needs a jungle." At 18, barely a month into Columbia, Adrienne received the dreaded call. Malabar was hysterical. Hazel, Charles's caregiver, had discovered the affair and demanded $10,000, or she'd expose everything. Together, they devised an elaborate scheme. Malabar would pose as Hazel, sending letters to married friends in Lily's circle, falsely accusing Malabar of affairs with their husbands. Each letter contained deliberately refutable details designed to destroy Hazel's credibility. When the inevitable calls came, Malabar would express shock, claim she'd fired Hazel, and ensure that if Hazel told Lily the truth, it would be dismissed as another lie. The scheme worked brilliantly. "You were brilliant," her mother gushed, a chip off the old block. Initially, Adrienne felt that familiar intoxication of being praised, of being essential. But the high faded quickly. She'd moved from accomplice to architect, from protecting a secret to actively destroying someone's credibility. She wrote self-loathing journal entries and stared at her reflection until she no longer recognized herself. When your mother celebrates your ability to lie convincingly, what happens to your sense of self? Charles's brain aneurysm offered a 50-50 chance with surgery or certain death without it. Disturbingly, doctors advised against telling him, and Malabar agreed. That summer of 1985, Charles was unexpectedly happy, delighting when archaeologist Barry Clifford discovered the pirate ship Wyda near their house, validating his long-dismissed belief. He made a pact with Adrian to search beaches together next summer. He survived surgery, but died days later from a massive stroke, alone in his hospital room. When Adrian arrived in Boston, she found her mother's defenses shattered. "He didn't deserve to die alone," Malabar sobbed. "Charles was so good to me, and look at how I treated him. I gave him the worst of me." Less than 2 weeks later, salvagers uncovered the Wyda's bronze bell inscribed "The Wyda Galley, 1716," proof Charles hadn't lived to see. Then came a stranger twist. During a Harbor Island vacation, Adrian met Jack Benn's son, and they began a romance. After dating secretly, they moved in together and decided to marry. But Adrian kept one crucial secret. She never told Jack their parents were having an affair. The revelation came one Sunday morning. Jack's mother, Lily, called, distraught. Then Benn confessed his terrible mistake. Adrian watched in horror as Jack listened to his father's desperate pleading, promising he would never see Malabar again, an impossible vow given their impending marriage. When Jack hung up, he confirmed what he suspected. She had known all along. Though he absolved her of blame, something fundamental had broken. They proceeded with the wedding, despite everything. At the reception, Malabar transformed, removing her modest jacket to reveal bare shoulders adorned with rubies, emeralds, and diamonds. The inevitable moment arrived. Benn and Malabar dancing together, cheeks pressed close, whispering words only they could hear. Never mind this was Adrian's wedding day, or that Jack's mother, Lily, was there, thin and brittle. Adrian fell into years-long depression after the wedding, waking nightly at 2 a.m., tormented by voices calling her fraud, liar, fool. When Lily died of a heart attack in November 1992, Adrian detected her mother's barely contained hope: Benn might finally be hers. Malabar and Benn moved in together 2 months after Lily's death and married 9 months later. Jack joked darkly about their twisted family tree. Malabar was now his stepmother, Benn his father-in-law, and Adrian's stepfather. Adrian's depression worsened despite therapy and medication. After a suicidal episode where she held Jack's gun in their empty bathtub, she moved to New York to pursue a literary career. During Malabar's first visit, over increasingly strong cocktails, her mother delivered a devastating message. "Has it ever occurred to you, Rennie, that I don't want you anywhere near me?" Adrian realized Malabar no longer needed her now that she had Benn. For the next decade, they spoke infrequently. Adrian rebuilt her life through writing, reading, and friendships. After divorcing Jack in 1997, she met Nick Keane in 2002, whose stable, loving family seemed utterly foreign. They married in 2005, and when she gave birth at 39, the world shifted profoundly. When Malabar arrived to meet her granddaughter, Adrian broke down, overwhelmed by being a mother while still yearning to be mothered. She recognized the toxic inheritance in their matrilineal line and faced a choice: continue the familiar path or find a new one for her daughter's sake. Life brought losses. Benn died. Malabar was diagnosed with aggressive melanoma. Driving home from the hospital, Malabar admitted, "I know my mother loved me, but not so much as she loved herself." Adrian found courage to say she felt the same way. Instead of apologizing, Malabar demanded back the family necklace, claiming her long-dead mother was furious she'd given it away. Despite her anger, Adrian helped her frail mother home, where Malabar told her she loved her more than anything else in the world. Adrian knew her mother loved her as much as she could love anyone. Returning to her family, she realized she'd broken the chain. Every time she failed to become more like her mother, she became more like herself. At 53, her daughter was now almost 14, the age she was when Malabar woke her to tell her about Benn's kiss. Though they looked alike, her daughter was fully herself, with a ready laugh and bright singing voice neither possessed. Most importantly, when confused by an assignment about overcoming a challenge without adults, her daughter's bewilderment brought tears to Adrienne's eyes. Her daughter couldn't imagine parents who weren't there for her. That incomprehension was Adrienne's greatest achievement, proof she had broken the cycle.